This past December, instead of doing our usual Christmas, my family and I decided to spend the holiday in North Carolina at the Biltmore Estate. The grounds are sprawling and the house itself is very grand. And visiting there feels like you have been taken back in time to a very different way of life. They offer a variety of tours for both the house and the surrounding grounds. I have visited many times, but my favorite tour by far is the behind-the-scenes tour. The guide takes you to many different areas of the house not seen on the regular tour. They take you on rooms on the highest level, all the way to the cellar. Many rooms haven't been inhabited in decades and are in bad repair. Some are empty, and some are used for storage for the furniture and rugs that are used throughout the house. During the tour, you also learn about the daily business and rituals of the house and what it meant to be wealthy, as well as the help that waited on the wealthy. You see the simple rooms of the servants, and you get a real feel of how they worked hard to keep the mansion running at peak performance. Even the most mundane of details gets me to thinking about their lives and how they spent their days and how it has changed since that time. As I read this week's passages from Mark, I found myself doing that very same thing, trying to imagine myself in the middle of many of the stories, trying to think about those involved and how their lives were forever changed by Jesus. If I concentrate, I can hear the sound of walking on a dry dirt road. I can smell the flowers and the grass or a nearby farm animal. I could hear the sound of their clothes flapping in the wind. I could imagine the discussions and debates as the disciples tried to decipher the meaning of the parables Jesus had been teaching along the way. I can hear the random chit-chat and confusion as crowds began to gather around Jesus, the distraction of people yelling out to him for just a moment of his time, to be seen by him, to be touched by him. As I continued to study, I kept making comparisons in my mind with many of the characters. I couldn't help but be in awe of the amount of faith each of them had in Jesus. A stranger, a man they had only heard stories about, word of mouth of his deeds and miracles. How could they be so certain it was true? How did they know that he was the real deal? Yet they took the chance and asked to be healed, or for him to heal their loved one, or just reach out in the crowd and touch his clothes, believing he had the power to make them whole again. I have to ask myself, would I have had that much faith? Do I have that kind of faith? If I'm honest with myself, I have to say no, I do not. Now to be clear, I'm a believer, and I am certain that I am saved. But do I completely trust in God to meet my needs as He has promised to do? I struggle with fully trusting God. It is not something I do consciously. I don't say, I don't trust God, so I'm going to do it my way. It's just in my nature to try and get things done, get them taken care of, and in the fastest way possible. My parents instilled in me a good work ethic, which is great at my job. But in my spiritual life, I seem to get in God's way quite often, not allowing Him to be in control. It's hard to figure out how to let go and get it done at the same time. In the past few months, I have taken a few yoga classes, and a primary focus in yoga is to breathe. Really breathe. To concentrate on your breathing and to listen to your body. Slow down, breathe, and listen. I am also trying to learn to apply this to my faith in God, learning to listen to Him, to listen for Him through words of encouragement from others, to trust those voices, signs, and instincts He has sent to me to help me make the proper decisions and to grow my faith in Him and the process. I also want to grow my faith to be more confident in the person God has created me to be, to share my views and to share the ways I see Him change my life. Having full trust in God would allow me to be bold and search out new ways to show others how Jesus meant for us to live in harmony together. I don't want to hold back. I don't want to do it the old way just because it's always been done that way. I want to find new ways of expression, new ways of growing my faith, new ways of trusting in God, new ways of becoming a better Christian. We live in a culture where expressing a thought or idea that differs from the majority has become grounds for excessive ridicule. Unfortunately, morality, facts, and truth are easily dismissed if doing so helps push an agenda forward. In Mark 7, we see Jesus deal with a situation that has striking similarities to today's world. The Pharisees and leaders had noticed that the disciples had not washed their hands before eating, and they questioned Jesus why they had broken with tradition. Jesus responds in verses 6 through 9. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." I did find some solace in these chapters as well. I am not alone in my lack of faith or difficulty in trusting. The disciples were constantly questioning Jesus to the point that you could practically hear the frustration in his voice. Those in his own hometown refused to believe in him. Reading these verses, I think, how could they question Jesus? But we do it every day. From the smallest details to the heavy prayer concerns we bring to him, but seem to take back the minute we say amen. A few years ago, I learned a piece of advice from the rapper 50 Cent via his grandmother. After the death of his mother, 50, whose real name is Curtis Jackson, was sent to live with his grandmother, and he was raised by her. She was a believer. Oprah asked Curtis what was some advice he had learned from his grandmother. And she had told him, "You can pray and you can worry, but you can't do both at the same time." And she's right. Replace worry with prayer. The minute you begin to think or overthink, just say a short prayer. Find yourself an affirmation and use it in those times of stress or when worry has worked its way back in. I tell myself, "God's got this," many times a day. Most things we worry about are out of our control, and God will do a much better job with it anyway. God's got this. I believe worry is something we should strive to give up for Lent, replacing it with prayer and meditation. Spending those periods of time thanking God and being grateful, asking God for relief from stress, asking Him to increase our faith and grow our trust. I also found some relief in the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 2, Paul writes that if I have the faith to move mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. So, as I continue to work on my fully trusting God, I have great comfort knowing that it's love that will see me through. His love, love of friends and family, my love for Him, it's love that makes the biggest difference. It's love that binds us. And it is love that has saved us. So my prayer for you this day is to have a day filled with faith, hope, and love. But remember that the greatest of these is love.